Today, what we're doing is our State of the Church address. We're going to take a break from the series that Dove started last week. And it's something we like to do kind of towards the beginning of the year. And it's similar to what the president did a couple of weeks ago, except I'm not going to pause for applause every 3.5 seconds. But if you think of the State of the Union address, kind of the idea is, hey, let's look at who we are and what our goals are and how we're doing, assess things, and hopefully to steer things and change the future. And whether or not you like the president is beside the point, but kind of at the end, you hope you can kind of come together as a country, like, okay, yeah, let's set aside our differences and come together. And so same thing as a church. We want to think about our goals and what we're doing and what we're doing well and what we want to change and then how we can come together. And so what I want to do today is look at some of our goals, talk about some financial accountability stuff, and just figure out where we're headed. Our church is called the Rio, and that obviously means river in Spanish, if you're really bilingually illiterate. So it's from this passage in Ezekiel 47, and there's a verse that says, where the river flows, everything will live. And we talk about this sometimes because it's a part of our vision as a church, and so we don't want to be redundant and boring you to death talking about the same thing, but just to keep putting this vision before us of who are we and what do we want to focus on together as a family of believers. And so I want to read through this passage in Ezekiel 47 again. Ezekiel's having a vision. Ezekiel is a prophet of God, and he's having this vision that God is giving him. So let me read through that. Ezekiel 47:1 says, the man brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and I saw water coming out from under the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the temple faced east. The water was coming down from under the south side of the temple, south of the altar. He then brought me out through the north gate and led me around the outside of the outer gate facing east. The water was flowing from the south side. You can tell it's a very vivid vision he's having. It's not just some weird dream or something. Because as the man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits and then led me through water that was ankle deep. He measured off 1,000 cubits and led me through water that was knee deep. He measured off 1,000 and led me through water that was up to the waist. He measured off 1,000, but now it was a river that I could not cross because the water had risen and was deep enough to swim in, a river that no one could cross. He asked me, son of man, do you see this? Evidently, he's speechless. He doesn't seem to have a response, at least that's recorded here. And then he led me back to the bank of the river. When I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. He said to me, this water flows toward the eastern region and goes down into Araba, where it enters the sea. When it empties into the sea, the water there becomes fresh. Swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. There will be large numbers of fish because this water flows there and makes the salt water fresh. So, where the river flows, everything will live. Fishermen will stand along the shore from Engedi to Engleam, and there will be places for spreading nets. The fish will be of many kinds like the fish of the great sea, but the swamps and marshes will not become fresh. They will be left for salt. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, nor their fruit fail. Every month they will bear, because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve for food, and their leaves for healing. So, in this vision that's given to Ezekiel, there is some kind of a spiritual thing that's being taught. This isn't just some kind of a lesson for people who don't know anything about science, you know, letting people know, hey, I want to let you know that where water is, things grow. You know, trees need water. I don't know if you knew that, or fish need water. Kind of cluing these people in. That's not what it is. There's something deeper here. And so we can look at this passage. We can look at a parallel passage in Revelation, some things that Jesus said in John. And what we see is that this water is flowing from the temple, which is the place of God, right? So this water coming from God and then it's spreading out and growing is bringing life wherever it goes. And that's like the Spirit of God. Where the Spirit flows, there's life. And so the thing that we want to pursue as a church is we want to pursue being connected to God. As we're connected to God, then we're experiencing life in our own lives. And there's a joy that's happening. There's a forgiveness and there's a freedom and good things are happening, just like in that vision where it's bringing life and health and all kinds of good things. And then what happens is, as we experience life individually, we're experiencing life together as a group. We're enjoying God together, and there's life in our relationships. And then as each of us goes out into the world, we interact with people, maybe in the workplace, maybe in school, maybe in your extended family. But as you go out, you're bringing this piece of the Spirit, this flowing river, and God is bringing life to the world through your lives. And so that's who we are as a church. That's what we want to pursue. Not just, you know, how can we be the best little Christians we can be, but we want to pursue being connected to God. As we're connected to God, we're experiencing life. There's joy. There's an abundance in our relationship with God and with one another. And then we have something to offer to the world. And so, let's pray. We're going to talk about just how we experienced that this last year. Father, we just ask that you would bless this time here. We thank you that you are a bringer of life. Sometimes I think we think of following you, of being Christians, as being some kind of a burden, some kind of list of do's and don'ts. And it's a drag. It's a pain. It's like, oh, God wants something else from me. But you're a life giver. God, help us to walk in that, to experience that. Help us to connect with you in a meaningful way that changes us and that impacts those around us. I pray that for our church, God, that we would be a place that's bringing life to our community, because this is just a lost, dark, broken world that needs life. And so we pray that you would use us to experience you, first of all, but then to bring life to our world as well. And so we just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we went through a series that ended a few weeks ago on the commands of Christ. And so I want to focus on a few of those commands because I think they really set our mission as a church. I've talked about four that are personally I look at and I think, okay, these are the biggies. And we're not going to really focus a lot on the first one. The first one I think of is when Jesus said, the work of God is this, is to believe in the one he sent. So the most important thing in Christianity is to believe in Jesus Christ. Says the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. And so faith is critical to the Christian life. That's how you become a Christian, is by putting your faith in Jesus Christ, your faith in what God did for you in sending Jesus to come and go to the cross for you. Your faith that what he did on the cross to pay for your sins is completely sufficient. It's not by your work, by your effort, by your trying really hard that you're able to stand before God and say, hey, let me in heaven. It's by your faith in what Jesus did on the cross. So that's super important, but that's not going to be one of our focus points here today. The other things that I think of are the great commandment, just to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second part of that is to love your neighbor as yourself. And then the Great Commission, where Jesus commissioned his disciples to go and to spread this message to the whole world. And so I think of those three different areas, loving God, loving others, and spreading this message, I think of those as our mission. And we could break that down in some different ways, but I want to think of those as we reflect on this last year. So in Mark 12:29, Jesus said, the most important commandment is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. And with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the most important thing in life. It's not that you read your Bible every day. It's not that you help little old ladies across the street. It's that you love God. That's the most important thing. Now that's something as we reflect on our year, it's a little hard to measure, right? Well, just how much did we love God? You can't really put a little thermometer to that very well, but there are definitely some things that we do as a church that try to foster that. One thing I think of is just worship. I think when we worship, it's an expression of our love for God, and I think it helps us love God more. It's even some of the songs that we sang earlier. We're singing these truths about God. And it's not just the music. It's not just being touched by the sound, but we're expressing these truths to God. And sometimes, for me, probably like most people, I just sit there and I'm kind of going blah, 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 blah. And then every once in a while, it's like, oh, wait, what did I just say? It's like, wow, that's really profound. And there's something about it that just puts my heart in a good spot and helps me connect with God. This picture is from Faith Walkers, beginning of last year. And it was in Grand Junction, Colorado. We took about 60 people from our church. And it's just an amazing time to start the year, just worshiping the Lord and praising Him, hearing some teachings and spending some extended time together. Not everything we get to do as a church is experienced by everybody. Our youth group went to a youth conference in Denver this past year. And this picture is the worship from our last night there. And we're in their little entry area, the little cafe of the church building that they have in downtown Denver. And it's, I don't know, maybe, I think it's a little smaller than this room, maybe two-thirds the size or so. It's a pretty small area, and they had a full band in there. Steel Crosswhite from Salt Lake came and played, and it was so loud, people's ears were bleeding. And, I mean, not literally, but it was pretty loud. And, I don't know, just for some reason, that's just the way rock and roll was meant to be, I think. It's like, man, this is really awesome. And so I went and stood outside and listened from there. I know this is hard to believe. People literally were driving down the street and would stop at the stop sign and then pull over and just sit and listen. And my friend Roger went up and talked to someone. This guy had pulled over in his truck, and he's just sitting in his truck crying. And Roger's like, hey, you okay? What's going on? He's like, oh, I heard this music, and I just was listening, and this is just ministering to my soul. I don't remember exactly what he said, but that was the spirit of it. It's like, oh, that's so cool. So there's something about worship that's really special, and you could even tell from that story that guy was connecting with God. He was expressing a love toward God in that. This is our men's prayer meeting. I think in prayer, one of the things we try to do is start off just thanking God, praising Him, because we are very privileged people. We're really blessed, right? But in the day-to-day, we don't necessarily live that way or think that way. It's really easy to feel like somehow we're getting ripped off in life and God's not listening to us and woe is us. So it's just good to start off just praising God. Hey, actually, you know, God, thanks for my family. Thanks for my wife and my kids. And thank you for a vehicle and running water and food and the Bible, for friends, a lot of things that people wish that they had. So this is our early morning men's prayer meeting. Usually we have like 3 to 5 guys. On this particular day we had 10, and so it was so momentous we took a picture. We do some other things as well. This is a special event we had. It's called Secret Church. That sounds kind of mysterious and weird if you're not familiar with that. But basically it was just an extended church service. I think it went for like 6 hours, and it was a real sweet time for the people who were there. And we heard a lot of teachings. And for me, teachings aren't about getting more information, but it's about learning more about God. And hopefully as you learn more about God, you fall in love with God. That would be the goal of learning more. Or this particular teaching was more on apologetics, kind of defenses for our faith, why we believe what we believe and how we can know that it's true. And that's also good because it helps protect your relationship with God. It's like, okay, my heart can stray, just like our hearts can stray in a human relationship. Our hearts can stray in our relationship with God. So it's a way of protecting that love relationship that we have with God. And so that was a cool time. When I think about loving God, I think about in John chapter 14 where Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey my commands. And so our obedience is an expression of faith and love. And so there are lots of little things that we do as a church, lots of things that we do individually that are expressions of faith. And this was a real sweet time. This was Domini D'Urbano. He was getting baptized by his dad and by the other pastor, Dove. And it's just really cool. Just anything like that where people are taking a step of faith to follow God, that's just a really cool expression of their love of God. And so this is the most important thing, that we love God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I think about this verse in 1 John 4:19. We love because he first loved us. Our love for him is a response to his love for us. And so it's important that we understand his love for us, that we understand that he loves us right where we're at. And so one of the things we've tried to do is set some goals as a church, something we're trying to pursue over the next 4 months. And if you missed last week's message, I encourage you to listen to that. Dove talked about some of our goals and why we're trying to pursue that. So one of our goals is just to journal some of our thoughts and feelings once or twice a week, and then just to pray and say, hey, God, thanks for accepting me, for loving me right where I'm at. You might be like, man, what a great week. I just feel so blessed. All these things are going right for me. Or you might be like, oh, I can't believe how angry I am, and I realize that I'm struggling with this all the time. And whatever's going on in your heart, it's good to just stop and say, God, thanks for loving me right there, that I don't have to straighten up before you love me. And so this is just an exercise to help in that. And you might think that's the dumbest thing in the world. And for me, I'm not really a journaling kind of guy. And some of you are sitting there thinking, yeah, me either. You know, I don't like this at all. And so I was a little reluctant at first. And I'll be honest, this particular one was more Dove's idea than mine. But that's okay. That's why it's good to have multiple pastors, is because we both bring different things to the table. And we discuss this quite a bit. And it's hard to know how to love God more, right? Like, if you're to take a practical step, what can I do to love God more? It's hard to know how to do that. And it's like, well, this actually seems like a reasonable step of just saying, well, if I understood that God loved me right where I'm at, maybe that would help me to love him more, to respond to him in love. And so you may think it's a crazy idea, but that's fine. I would still encourage you to try it, just like I'm going to try it, because it's like, well, the most important thing is to love God. And so I'm willing to try some different stuff to help me fall in love with God at a deeper level. So the second greatest commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said there's no commandment greater than these two. So we're supposed to have this love for other people. Christians are supposed to love everybody in the world, right? But I think there's a special love even for our neighbor. It's just more practical. People who are closer, people who are interacting with. And then even a step further than that, in Galatians 6:10, it says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. So there's this love for all people, but there's a special love for the family of believers. And I would maybe even take it a step further of, there's a special love for a specific family of believers, a specific church family, maybe even for a specific small group. Think of Jesus when he gave the new commandment in John 13:34, and he's sitting with his disciples, and he says, hey guys, a new commandment I give you. Love one another. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. And he's calling them not to love people generally. That's not a new commandment. The new part of it was to love each other. There's this closeness in this relationship. And so that's something that we want to pursue as a church. This is a picture of our Easter potluck. Why do we have potlucks? Well, just kind of a churchy thing to do. Is that the deal? No, it's because we're trying to foster relationships. We're trying to spend time together. It's pretty hard to develop a deep love relationship for people if you don't spend some time with them. And so we intentionally try to set up times where we can be together and develop those relationships. There's Tom, just chilling. This is a hike we went on up to Cristo Rey. That's what's at the top. And I remember on that hike, I got to walk back down. Part of the time was with Joe Avery. I don't know if you guys remember him. He used to sit over kind of back by Mike. And Joe had an amazing story. On the way back on the hike, he was telling me about just his dad. He came home from school one day and his house was empty. His dad was gone. Called up his mom. Mom wouldn't take him. And he ended up getting raised by a whole bunch of different people through high school. And this terrible, terrible life. And he found God in the midst of all of it. And so it was a fun hike. I like hiking. And that's honestly one of the reasons we do hikes as a church. I don't like bowling. I don't like golfing. We've never had any church bowling events or church golfing events. And as far as I'm concerned, we may never. And that's it's okay with me. But I like to hike. But it's not just for me, right? It's not just, hey, let's do what Steve wants to do. But the idea is to spend time together to develop those relationships. This is a picture of another hike from the, it's called Rio Bosque Wetlands. And that was a really, really fun time, too. It's a little bit of a different place. Again, our goal here is to love people. And one way that we do that sometimes is with community service. This is a picture of something that the ladies did at the Women of God event. They came together and developed this artwork that they put up on the wall at the homeless shelter. And so that was just a cool way to minister. They do a lot of cool things like that. So that's kind of a fun thing. Last week we had the Super Bowl, right? And, well, why do we do that? Is there a reason? Well, we like to see people get hurt, right? I don't know why. It's just kind of fun to see somebody completely get cremated. That's fun. We were really hoping Tom Brady would get beat, but we didn't really think it would happen, right? But it did. So that was cool. And there's the food and the commercials, but really it's just an event to come together and to have a fellowship, to be together, to enjoy one another. We're just trying to foster these relationships that we have. And that's why small groups are so important. I've gone to small groups for 30 years. And I love my current small group. It's really fun. I really love the people on it. It's just enjoyable. We all get along well. Everybody's pretty normal, which is kind of cool. But over 30 years, it's not always like that. I've been in some pretty lame small groups. It's not like every time I go. Seriously, it's not like every time I go, it's like, oh, that was so mean. I'm going to go next week. I learned so much. It's not that way. And usually, there's a person on the small group, a little weird, sometimes extremely weird. Or that's Anthony. I've never been on a small group with Anthony, just for the record. I like Anthony. Not that I would admit it if I didn't. You know, there's just that person that talks too much, or there's a question and they just like answer something completely different, or you know, you're like 1 minute from ending and they go into a 10-minute speech, and it's just, so sometimes small groups kind of irritating. So why do it? Because relationships are important, because the second greatest command is to love your neighbor as yourself. And to have any kind of meaningful relationships, you have to invest time. You have to invest time in those relationships. And you have to be with people you don't like sometimes to work on that, to try to learn how to like them. And so it's not the only way that you can develop meaningful relationships, but it's a tool that we use as a church to try to help foster that. So if you don't feel like you have deep, meaningful relationships in the church, I encourage you to get involved in a small group and just be committed to it. Cool people, weird people, whatever people are there, just focus on loving those people. So, again, second greatest command is to love your neighbors yourself. And so that's something we want to excel in, and I think we do pretty well. I love how just like after church, everybody just hangs out and talks forever and just enjoys one another, and I think there's a good flavor of that here. So one of the goals related to that in our little booklet is just to pray for 5 people a day. Pray for 5 people a day from the church. The idea would be just to make sure that we're caring for one another in some kind of a spiritual way. And it doesn't have to be a long, drawn-out thing, but, you know, sometimes it's like Cary Gracie at the airport. You know, I pray for Cary Gracie. He had heart surgery last week, and I pray that you would help him, help his wife as she's trying to minister to him. And just real simple prayers, and just to have each other in mind and to be caring for one another. And then after a while, hopefully we kind of get bored of the general blessing prayer. Pray that you would bless Mark. So I don't know anything that's going on in his life right now. And so you might actually go up to Mark and say, hey, I've been praying for you every week and I have no idea what's going on in your life. What can I pray for? And so that might be something you do. So if you have 5 people you want to pray for, you could pray for them every day. If you have 10 people, pray for them every other day, and you can figure out the math from there. So the third goal that we want to focus on is the Great Commission. And we just talked about this a couple of weeks ago at church, and so I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but this is when Jesus said to his followers, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. And so basically, Jesus is just saying, hey, you know, I came to this earth for a purpose. That purpose has been fulfilled. I went to the cross to pay for the sins of people, and this is great news. Now people don't have to try to work their way to heaven. They can be forgiven through belief in me. And I want you to go tell the whole world about this. And so that's one of our goals, is just to spread this message wherever we can. And again, just kind of as the river flows, we hope that it'll bring life wherever it goes. So one of the things we do as a church is our youth group, when it's the right kind of daylight savings time and there's light for it, we meet about an hour before our youth group meeting. We go to the park. We just pass out free ice cream. And we tell kids as they come up to get ice cream, say, hey, here's how it works. Is you ask us a question about God, and we'll answer the best that we can, and we'll give you free ice cream. And the kids are game for that, and they get some great questions and really neat interactions with the kids. And it's just an opportunity to just take truth out into the world. This particular picture is from that conference that the teens went to in Denver. There's Sarah on the left there in the foreground. And our group is teaching another group from another church how to do this same thing. And so we set up a table in the park, and we're trying to do that. And to be honest with you, it was kind of a flop. Like, hardly anybody came. It just wasn't a great location. But we did have this one group of ladies stop by, and you can tell they're engaging in some good conversation there and having a good time. And I think they were, like, studying to be nuns or something. So it was kind of a different time. One time our Men of God group, we tried to do something similar. And so some of us went to the park to do some outreach. Some people went knocking on doors in neighborhoods or just praying in neighborhoods and doing some things like that. From this picture, it looks like we were complete failures at connecting with anybody. But actually, there were some good conversations that happened, and we had a good time. And so we're just trying anything. It's like, what can we do to share this message with people? Because it's so important. And so we're just trying different things and seeing if we can get into some good conversations with people. Some of you went to China on a mission trip. Is that the Great Wall there? Yeah, it's a pretty good wall, anyway. And so they went and they ministered at a kind of an orphanage type thing, Home of Hope, and some different places ministered to some gals that were, I think, had been caught up in prostitution. And it is some really amazing opportunities to minister there in China. So again, that's just an opportunity to take the love and the message of Jesus and spread it to the world. And our practical step from our little booklet is this. It's basically just, we want to encourage you guys to make your own personal goal of just something that you can do, whatever you're comfortable with, but to come up with something specific and intentional. Because I think we all think, oh yeah, it's a good idea for other people to hear the message. But unless we do something intentional, we never really get around to it. And so maybe you're like, well, once a month I'm going to write a letter to a family member and just say something about God in it. Or maybe you're going to say, hey, I'm going to write my story about how God has impacted me, and I'm going to share that with a person a month or a person a week. Or maybe you're going to just take a little tract and leave it behind in the bathroom and do the stealth thing or something. But just to do anything and to have a specific goal. It's just a way to try to spread that message. So, big picture, again, is where the river flows, everything will live. As we're connecting with God individually, as we're connected even as a church, we hope is that's bringing life for us, that's bringing life into the church, and that's going out into the world. And a lot of what's happening is not from the church. A lot of it is what's going on in people's hearts. And so let me just share a couple examples of things that I saw that were cool that weren't really things the church was orchestrating. The Roberts family goes to the airport church. Most of you know them. And they have a whole slew of kids. And Vivian, the mom of the family, put together a shower for the pregnancy resource center, like a baby shower. And so they, you know, collected diapers and gifts and toys and things that you would normally bring to a baby shower. And then they donated it to the center. And then it was also an opportunity to talk about the center and find out what they're doing and to pray for them and give an opportunity for people to volunteer. And I just thought, that is such a creative way to make a difference. And she's a mom of, like, I don't know, like 28 kids or something. I mean, they just have a slew, like more than us even. It's crazy. And so it's not like she's sitting around with nothing to do, right? But God stirred her heart and moved in her to do something that was really meaningful. So that was cool. Another really cool thing we saw is Justin and Phyllis adopted a baby this last year. And, like, man, could there be a greater expression of faith than that and of love? To take someone who needs help, who just needs everything, and then to bring them into your family and say, hey, you're mine now, and I'm going to love you. I'm going to be your mommy. I'm going to be your daddy. I just think, man, that's really cool. That's really cool. And so I just wanted to highlight those two because I just want to point out that there are some cool things happening that we don't think about as a church, but God's moving in people's hearts. So I also want to go through some financial stuff to, one, just to be accountable with you guys, also just to kind of let you know where some things are at with the church. In 2 Corinthians 8:18, it says, "And we are sending along with Titus, the brother who is praised by all the churches for his service to the gospel. What is more, is he was chosen by the churches to accompany us as we carry the offering which we administer in order to honor the Lord himself and to show our eagerness to help. We want to avoid any criticism of the way we administer this liberal gift, for we are taking pains to do what is right, not only in the eyes of the Lord, but also in the eyes of men." So what's happening there is he's saying, hey, this one church is going to give a financial gift to another church. And, you know, back in the day, you'd have to have somebody physically take that money to the other place. And so what he's doing is he's saying, hey, we're going to have Titus take this money, and then we're going to have this other brother, this other guy who you guys trust, we're going to have him go with him just to make sure things are above board. He's saying, you know, before God, we feel good about this. That's what he's saying in the last verse. Before God, we feel good, but we also want to do what's right in the eyes of people. We want people to also know that we did the right thing. And so we're going to be accountable by sending this other guy along. And so we have a fair amount of money that flows through the church, and so we want to be accountable with that as well. And so you have a handout there. And the top part is our income, and we don't have much control of that, so I'm not going to really speak on that. And then our expenses, where money gets spent. So I want to highlight just some different things. I'm not going to hit every detail item because my goal here is to not kill anybody through boredom. So I'm going to try to highlight some things. And then if you have more questions, you could talk to myself or to Dove or Tom as our other board member. Or really, if you have specific financial questions, Misty Mole would be the person to talk to. And she's the one that runs our finances. And we don't have anything at all to hide. You could look at every single line item. And I'm not embarrassed about how we spent anything. The only thing I feel a little weird about is I wish we were giving away more money. And I wish we had more resources to do that. But other than that, I feel really peaceful. So I'm going to hit two items here together. Benevolence and charitable contributions are similar things. So the church gives like $100 a month, I think, to the mission. The rescue mission for homeless people. We have our out of abundance fund, so we have money coming in that people give to different ministries, and then that money goes back out as an expense. Sometimes we have people calling up saying, you know, hey, I'm in this terrible situation and I need some financial help. Can you help? Sometimes we turn people away and sometimes we are able to help. So those are some of the ways that benevolence gets spent. Building and property is just stuff like our fire permit and getting our fire extinguishers recharged. Nothing too exciting there. Catering, That's mostly when Dove and I are having pastors' meetings and we get kind of hungry. We're like, hey, man, you should get some food brought in here. No, I'm just kidding. We don't do that. It's not a bad idea, though. This would be like for a conference. And so you have conference money that's, you know, people pay to go to a conference. And then you have expenses at that conference. So I think of this as like an in and out category. Money comes in. Pretty much a conference would pay for itself. Maybe the church would contribute a little bit. But that would be, the catering would fall into that, where money came in for an event or a conference and then went out for that event. And then obviously conferences and meetings would be more conference stuff. Insurance expense. So we have obviously insurance on both of our buildings that we rent and the equipment that we have. And then also, like, doctors have malpractice insurance. So churches have to carry insurance in case, like, the pastors or a Sunday school teacher, somebody would be accused of impropriety. So insurance covers all that. Miscellaneous, I just highlight, because we stayed under $100 miscellaneous. That's pretty amazing. Actually, it all tends to fall into reimbursements, which is a way bigger category. So it's not really that we're that amazing. Payroll expenses, that was our pay between Dove and I for last year. And we actually do get paid pretty well. And that is the only compensation we get. So we don't have any kind of retirement or health insurance or anything like that. Other than, like, after communion, we can drink the rest of the grape juice and stuff like that. Just kidding. We don't really do that. That would be kind of gross. Okay, reimbursement of expenses. So this is that miscellaneous category that I was talking about. So this is just anybody buys anything for the church. You can always get reimbursed as long as it's, you know, kind of reasonable, not like a pony or something. But, you know, you spend money on Memory Madness or Sunday school or something, and you just bring a receipt and Misty writes a check. And so we have about $12,500 in expenses from last year. I'm going to switch to another page, and I'll just give you a quick breakdown on some of that so you can see in the bottom right, so the same amount. And so last year we had $2,400 that was reimbursed from the previous year. So like in January, there were reimbursements that were made from 2016. And you can see we spent about $1,100 on meals after church that we have like every 3 weeks here, and about the same amount at the airport, about $1,000 on Sunday school supplies. There's some more conference expenses, supplies, toilet paper, cleaning supplies, paper towels, forks, knives, stuff like that. Refreshments, this would be coffee and soda. Of course, we have some money coming in with the soda machine. That was a little bit troubling, the whole 666 thing, but what are you going to do? Be good maybe next year if we just at least did a dollar more or a dollar less. Outreach expenses, buying tracts and outreach at the park with the youth, things like that. Memory Madness, we have the certificates that we give for adults and the t-shirts for kids and that sort of thing. And we're getting down some pretty small dollar amounts. It's probably not worth going through. Just to mention real quick in case you don't know, so B2Z Publishing is, Kathleen and I have a parenting ministry. And we also, so we have some expenses with that of buying materials that we sell at different conferences and things. But we also have some income coming in on that you can see on the top part of your sheet there. And so we're bringing in a lot more than we're actually spending. So it's not like that's a drain on the church. It's actually a blessing and is able to cover a part of my salary as well. So that's the expenses part. We have our rent expense that's broke up between this location in the airport. So currently it's $25.25 a month on the west side and $19.50 a month at the airport. It was a little bit lower than that last year during part of the year. Tithe is we give 10% of our general giving. We give 10% of that back to our region, and then our region uses that to sometimes help with church plants or conferences and things like that. And then utilities is pretty self-explanatory. So we spent about $243,000 last year. So that was the good news or the okay news. As we look forward to next year, it seems like as the There Is fundraiser has kind of come to an end, and a lot of people have already done all their giving on that. So we subtracted that out of our income from last year. And then we added back in, you know, like 6 months worth of giving, maybe for the people who are still giving regularly monthly on that. And then we knew of some special giving that happened last year that won't repeat this coming year. And so our projected income, as near as we could tell, was about $165,000. And the problem is our expenses last year were $243,000. And so that gives us a shortfall of about $77,000. So pretty big deal. And so we try to figure out, it's like, okay, well, wow, where in the world can we absorb that? And so really there are only three categories that are big enough that they can really take a bite out of that, I guess. One's payroll. The other's reimbursement of expenses. So that was that one where we went to the other page and it's kind of all the stuff that people get reimbursed for when they buy stuff for the church. Seemed like we're pretty reasonable on all of that. And I think we can drop that number some, but since it's only $12,000, you can't really squeeze $77,000 out of that. And then we have our two locations. We have our rent expense there in kind of the blue or the purple here. And then the utilities that go along with those. So, you know, we could close down our other location. But even then, it's not really enough. $2,000 a month, it doesn't solve the problem. We could close down both locations and say, hey, let's be a home-based church. But it seems like that's a decision you don't want to make based on financial pressure. It seems like that would be a strategic decision that you want to make. So that kind of left payroll. It's hard to know how to handle such a deficit. You know, there may be, you know, ideally you'd be like, wow, if we had 77 people in the church who could all give an extra $1,000, that would take care of it. But I know a lot of people are already tight. I know a lot of people couldn't do that at all. And so we can't really control other people's giving. So as we plan a budget, we have to kind of plan for what we're really expecting. And so that means we are taking some hefty pay cuts this year. We could do different things. Dove could go back to teaching, and I could be the only one on staff. To be honest, I don't think that's good for me. I don't think that's good for the health of the church. I don't think that would be moving forward. I think that would put us in a spot where we'd just kind of be stuck here forever. And we could do the other way, obviously. I could go find another job and we could just pay Dove, or we could both work for free, or we could both work half-time. But what we came down to is just try to lower both of our salaries. Not like an even percentage, but it's kind of like you play limbo. It's like, okay, how low can you go? So we just kind of figured out what we could both absorb. Obviously, it's not pleasant for either one of us, but it's a cut on average of about 46%. So yeah, that's going to create some challenges for us. So obviously, I've had some time to think about that, and I'm pretty peaceful with that. And I feel like God has called us to walk this path, and we're going to just trust God that this is a good path. And I think it would be really easy for us to say, this is the crisis. The crisis is that our pastors aren't getting paid full salaries. And then we could throw our efforts at trying to fix that. And I don't want to do that. I don't think that's the right step. Because the greatest commandment is not that your pastor should receive a full salary. The greatest commandment is that you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And the second greatest commandment is that you love your neighbor as yourself. And the Great Commission is that we spread His message of love to the world. And that needs to be the driving force of our church. Is that we're where the river flows, everything will live, that we're connected to God. And as we're connected to God, that there's a life that comes from that, that we're experiencing, and that's overflowing into our church and into our community. And so I don't want you to invite your friend to church kind of thinking, hey, maybe if my friend comes, he's kind of rich and he could tithe and that would really help. That's just icky. And I understand it's, in a way, it's going to be hard not to think that way. But I want us to think, what's the key thing? The key thing is that we love God, and that we love people, and that we share His message of love and hope and forgiveness with those people. And so I'm excited about where we are. I really am. As I reflect back on the last year, I think good things are happening in all three of those categories. I'm encouraged enough so that I'm willing to take a huge cut in pay to try to help keep things going in the direction we're going. And Dove so encouraged that he is also willing to take a huge cut in pay to keep things going. So I don't want it to be a big downer. Oh, this is desperate. Like, no, things are good. Things are good. And we're encouraged, and that's why we want to keep down this path, because we think it's a good path, we think it's what God has, and we think it will lead to blessings and health in the future. And I haven't missed a meal yet. I'm not planning on missing any meals. All my kids are getting fed. You know, it's going to be okay. It's going to work out. So, just wanted to share that with all of you. Let's close in prayer here.